Certainly is a pleasure to be back with you here. This association, I hadn't been here in a while. Certainly have enjoyed being back and reacquainting ourselves with you here and enjoying the fellowship that I've so much enjoyed each time I've come here. You know, it's a good spirit in this meeting. And it's what I've experienced in the past. What makes me want to come back?
Amen.
Right? You've been places where you didn't feel the Spirit. So I'm thankful for the love of God here and the manifestation of that love among so many. Desire and interest in your prayers. What keeps coming to my mind while we've been here, and you know, when you sit through 20 sermons, lots of things come to mind, don't they? And what's been on my mind is something I already preached last Sunday. And some of my congregation's here. I've heard that one before. No. Things that we've heard while we've been here. It's just so refreshing. It's encouraging to me. That what I've been trying to preach, that others are preaching it too.
Yes.
First Thessalonians, chapter 4. I have been captivated here lately by the message to the Thessalonians. I'm convinced that it's so much akin to the need that the church has today. The brethren at Thessalonica turned from idols to serve the one living and true God. Isn't that what we need today?
Yes.
For God's people. The world's not going to do it, but for God's people to turn from their idols. Oh, preacher, you mean God's people can serve idols? Yes. It's a great part of our problem, isn't it? It's a great part of what we're facing. I've heard others express the thought. Elder Painter, when he was speaking about how we need to be reaching out to others. Don't you know God has more people in this locality than is here tonight? They may not see things the same as we do, but you can see some love of God in their life. As a matter of fact, I know folks that don't believe like I do, and I see a whole lot of love to God and for God and a willingness to serve Him. More than I see in myself sometimes. I didn't get very many amens on that one. I've been trying to go through 1 Thessalonians. And when I got over to chapter 4, I thought, well, this will be quick because we'll get down to the second coming. But I got bogged down in a couple of things. Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit, warned the church against fornication. We know what that is, don't we? Sometimes it's a very broad application, but here he's speaking specifically of the sexual uncleanness that we need to save ourselves from. Oh, it's so common in our culture today, isn't it? But let it not be named once among us. It's a problem. It's a problem. We need to be prayerful about it, don't we? And then and I'm going to begin in verse 9. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. Now, wait a minute. Is there no need for Paul to teach that? Evidently, he already had taught that. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now, we're not robots, are we? But when we're born of the Spirit, that Spirit worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we have the gospel.
Amen.
And when we hear the gospel, and when that Spirit hears the gospel, it responds within us as if it says, yes. It witnesses to truth. And that's how we feel the leadership of the Spirit, when it witnesses to truth, and we have a better understanding of what that truth is. And there are times when we may think or decide something, and we get a different feeling within us.
That's right.
We get a feeling of conviction.
Yeah.
And that's the Spirit working in us. Isn't it wonderful that we're not bound by just those times when we have the counsel of a pastor or the counsel of good brethren around us, but we've got the Lord with us at all times. What a wonderful design that he's given us a way to help understand his will at all times. His Spirit is with us. How wonderful. God must have loved us tremendously. That he would do something like that for us. I said we've heard so much in the messages, so good messages, blessed messages throughout this meeting. And there's one thing I want to emphasize tonight. I've heard it, but I haven't heard it a lot. Maybe it's my turn. Paul said, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Paul had preached these things to these brethren. And then he had to leave. And he wanted to go back, but he was hindered. Satan hindered him. You mean Satan can hinder a gospel minister for doing his job? That's why we need to be praying for the ministry. Pray for one another, but pray for the ministry. In this culture in which we live. Now, it's nothing new. We're talking about something that's 2,000 years ago when Paul ministered to the brethren at Thessalonica. And the very issues that were so important that they needed in that day, we need them desperately today.
Amen.
He had taught them about loving one another. And so when he was hindered in going back, he sent Timotheus. By the way, he didn't say Timothy. You ever notice that? He didn't just say Timothy when he's writing back to the church at Thessalonica. It's Timotheus, an honorable servant of the Lord, not little Timothy. Now, personally, when he's writing to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, he calls him Timothy. But to the church, it's Timotheus. Respect the servant of the Lord. He sent Timotheus. He wanted to know their faith. Well, didn't Paul know that they believed? Sure he did. But were they holding on? Were they continuing to be faithful? Did they still see the Lord high and lifted up? Were they still willing to turn from their idols? Were they still willing to sacrifice and suffer the afflictions that they were suffering when they had turned from those idols to serve the one living and true God? Were they still faithful? He wanted to know their faith. We know there's nothing defective in what God gives us in regeneration, but how we use that varies tremendously, doesn't it? All right? So he sent Timotheus. What was the report that Timotheus brought back? Go back in chapter 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. Oh, a good tiding. Paul was refreshed. The brethren are being faithful.
Yes.
But not just faithful. There's charity there. My old-fashioned definition of charity is love in action.
Amen.
That's still good enough today?
Amen.
Love in action. In other words, Paul rejoiced. They were being faithful. They were loving God. And they were loving one another. And he'd already told them how that their faith had sounded out. And how that, you know, he rejoiced in their works of faith and their labor of love and their patience of hope. Sounds like there's also some growth and maturity there, isn't there? Patience of hope. We all need patience, don't we? But I tell you, if you keep your mind on that hope, we heard so wonderfully preached to us. That hope. But I'm going to tell you something. What is it that's going to energize faith? What is it that's going to cause us to desire to be different from the world? What is it? What do we need? Well, Paul told the Galatians that faith worketh by love. It's God's love that he communicates to us, and our love in return to him. And that part is important. Our love to him. It's terribly important, isn't it? To discipleship. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So every time we keep one of his commandments, what are we saying? Lord, I love you. You need to say that a lot. Not just with your words, but by keeping his commandments. Now, Jesus also said in John 13, if you know these things, you know these things? Happy are ye if you do them. There is a happiness, there is a blessedness, there are blessings that come in the doing. Thank you. That's where your joy is going to be found. You know, what kind of a witness is a Christian that doesn't have any joy? Do we need to go find another shepherd? Do we need to go find a better Lord? Do we need a better Bible? Sounds like to me, we know much more than we do. Could that be why our joys are not full? Could that be why we're not cherishing Him as we should? These brethren were loving one another, and Paul was rejoicing in it. You know, you want to rejoice the heart of your pastor? Start doing what he's preaching.
Amen.
And I hope he's giving you something to do in his preaching. You know, if we never preached Romans 8 as far as those eternal things that God has done for us, if we never preached it again, it wouldn't change a thing. Heaven will still be our home.
Amen.
God will still be as glorious as He is. But if we leave off the practical things, lots of things will change. We need to be instructed in the word of righteousness. And primarily, how is it that God speaks to us today? That's His lips. Primarily, today. Speaking to us. Teaching us that we ought to love one another. Now what John said, what is it? 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now that's his spiritual children, right? Not his, those that, you know, Paul said to the Corinthians that I have begotten you through the gospel. He didn't give them life. He didn't give them spiritual life, but that life was brought forth by giving them the understanding through his preaching. And that's what John's talking about. And that's the desire of every pastor, that as he teaches these things, that they would hear. Didn't we hear that this afternoon? How important it is to hear this teaching. We've also been going through Proverbs on Wednesday nights, and chapter 4, we got into that this past Wednesday. Hear, my son, hear the instruction of a father. I appreciate what was said this afternoon about, you know, if we're going to hear it, we need to show up. Right? And it would be helpful if you'd show up on time. Do you know that's an epidemic problem among Primitive Baptists today? I talk to pastors and all over the country. Folks showing up late for church. You know, worship starts when we're singing. It bothers me when folks don't have a desire to sing praises to God. It makes me wonder what frame of mind are they in to listen to preaching. And not only do we need to show up, we need to show up mentally. Prepared. If we've got our mind on the things of this world and our hearts set, our affections set on the things of this world, I'm not sure how much we're going to get out of a service. Now, it could be that singing those hymns, songs of Zion, could remind us, and that's one of the great values of our song service, is that it helps you to get in a better frame of mind to receive the preaching. But listen, you look about you, and it's not just Primitive Baptists. It's all churches I hear folks talking about falling away. A lack of this and a lack of that. Everybody's looking for ways to help the situation. But I think this is the root of the problem. Love. Now, there's nothing defective in God's love to us. But there's a whole lot of need in us improving on our love to God.
Amen.
You know, we know that definition of grace, that unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. Or Brother Sonny Powell's version of it is unmerited favor bestowed upon hell-deserving individuals. I mean, laugh if you want to, but it's closer to the truth.
Amen.
But I like Strong's definition of grace, too. I mean, they're all good. But we can turn that diamond and look at it from a different perspective, can't we? Strong says grace is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. I like that. That's our weak point, isn't it? It's reflection in the life. This church, when you study 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, these folks love one another. They love God, and it showed. And I appreciate the love that I felt while I've been among this association. And it's not just here at Union Church. I thank God for Union Church. But as I've been to this association and other places, I thank God for the love that you have among yourselves and those that are not a part of the association who regularly come to this meeting. And what a blessing it is. Thank God for it. But when we leave this association, what are we going to do then? Wait for the next one? Well, there's some waiting to be done, isn't there? How about let's go home and start living? I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying with what I see in the church today, there's great room for improvement in living like you love the Lord. And I'm talking about in sincerity and in truth. Just like Brother Marty said, isn't he worthy to be praised? Isn't he worthy to be loved by me and all mankind? Why? What has he done? See, that's what we need to be thinking about, isn't it? What the Lord has done for me. I love what he's done for you, but I'm telling you, I'd rather think about what he's done for me. Because I know he's done that for you, but I need to feel it myself. I need to feel his love on a daily basis. I need to feel and to remember all the wonderful things that he has done for us and the fact that we can never be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I fail him so often. I come short so often. Oh, but I'm thankful that nothing can separate me from his love. Now, I do a lot to separate myself from his fellowship and communion with his Holy Spirit. But oh, I rejoice that we cannot be separated from his love. So Paul said, this touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write it. He had taught them that. They were practicing that. There was a witness there. There was a great blessing that even Timotheus went over and was among them to see their faith, to see what was going on. And he came back and he brought a good report, good tidings of their faith and charity. So you know what that means? When Paul had taught them about the love of God, they got it. Pastors, don't you rejoice when your congregation gets it? When you see some evidence that they got it. Somehow, they got it. And that rejoiced Paul's heart. And so, it was so manifest that they were loving one another and loving God. He didn't have to teach that lesson again. He touched on it enough to remind them of it, but he didn't have to teach it again because they got it. Have we got it? Do we understand that we're to love one another? Do we understand that we're to love God? Oh, what's the psalm? Is it 118? And David said, I love the Lord because... Is it 116? Which one is it? I love the Lord because. Now he went on to say why. Yeah. But I'd like for you, maybe later, to think about. Why do you love the Lord? Give it some time. Give it some energy. See, we talked about how that faith worketh by love. In other words, the energy of faith is how much love we have. If we have a little love for God, stands to reason, there'll be little expression of faith. But more love for God will energize that faith. And the deeper that love is, the more fearless, the more bold we will be in the defense of it. But you see where it starts? Love. If God's given you that love, cherish it. Think about it. Rejoice in it. Sing about it. Tell somebody about it. Walk according to it. Live your life that manifests faith and love in a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. Think about it. That's the heart of the matter, isn't it? Love for God. What was it that in Revelation chapter 2, what was it that the church at Ephesus was rebuked for? Oh, they were working. They were busy. They understood a lot about the faith. Good knowledge. They'd had good pastors. They'd been taught well. What was the problem? I mean, if you've been taught well, if you're active, how could there be a problem? Well, there was a problem, wasn't there? A big problem. They'd left their first love. Something else had taken its place. Could that be a problem today? Oh, kind of wonder if that wasn't why he taught it first. So what's the remedy if they left their first love? Repent. Come back. And love God again? Sort of. Do the first works. You want to stir up that love? You want to stir up that devotion? You want to rekindle the flame? Do the first works. If you're not doing the first works, I'm concerned about how you express your love. I could tell Sister Nancy every day, I love you. But if I never did anything to prove it, after a while she'd probably wonder if I was sincere. When God gave us the greatest expression of his love for us, did he just send word by a prophet? Oh, he did that a lot of times, didn't he? No, the greatest expression of his love, for God so loved the world, and we know that's his elect, that he gave. He did something about it. And he did the greatest thing that he could ever do for us. And we've heard about that in this meeting, haven't we? Oh, the gift of his Son. That God loved us. You know, in that, whoever coined the phrase, that golden chain of redemption, Romans 8. You know how it starts? For whom he did foreknow. And that foreknowledge is not just knowledge. He set his love upon a particular people. He knew from the beginning who he loved, who he was saving. Jesus knew who he came to save when he came to this earth. He knew it. Somebody might say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Well, for one thing, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. I understand that foundation to be God's eternal purpose. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That was 2,000 years ago when Paul said that. A lot of God's people hadn't been born yet. None of you had. I don't think anybody here had been born then. And it stands to reason, you know, just pure logic, that if Jesus hasn't come back, it's a good chance that some of his people still haven't been born.
That's right.
He's not coming back until all of his people are at least conceived. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this sealed, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But is that all of that verse? And if you felt his love, if you claim to love God, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, have you taken his name upon you? Have you said before men, I love God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to live to his glory. I want to follow him and do what's pleasing in his sight. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you love God? If I were to give you a sheet of paper and say, give me a list of all the things that you did this past week that shows to others that you love God, how long would the list be? Do you need a piece of paper? I hope you do. I hope you need a ream of it. Because the doing of the first works will keep that flame alive. We'll keep the remembrance of his love fresh in our minds. We'll keep our hearts warm. And we'll show to others we really do love God. He teaches us by leading us by his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's so many things. The love of God's one of the biggest subjects in all the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could go to so many places. But I think you understand the point. I've lost track of what time I started, but I hope you got this message. When Paul preached the love of God to the brethren at Thessalonica, they got it. And they were keeping it. And they were living it. Sounds like to me, like to the brethren at Corinth, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. What kind of witness are we giving to those without? Do they see something that would attract them to you? Is your personal witness for your life one that would cause somebody to see the stability, to see the unshakable faith, to see you going through tremendous trials and yet remain faithful and even joyful in the Lord? You know, that's the kind of thing that would cause them to ask a reason for the hope that is in you. Has anybody asked you lately? You reckon they want to know what we know? They ought to, shouldn't they? But can we hinder others from wanting to ask. Oh, may God help us to love Him, to love one another, to manifest that love, and to give a kind of witness that others would want to know what we know, so that they could rejoice in these things like we do. May God bless you, is our prayer.